Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Where's my pen? Pens. Let's see your lesson plan. Lesson plan. Okay, open up, please, to Acts chapter 3 and open your lesson plan. And if you're new, get your pen out. We want to learn this morning. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter 3 and your lesson plan and your pen. And if you're in the lobby or in the Casa Real, we are watching you. We have cameras, microphones. We're hearing you if you're talking right now. We don't want you to be forgotten. When I was in about kindergarten, and my kindergarten teacher just passed away about 3 weeks ago. I know, she lived right around the corner from me, so I saw her my whole life growing up. And but when I was in kindergarten or first grade, I don't remember, when I learned that 1 + 1 = 2. I don't know what grade you learned that in. But then when I got to high school, I learned that 1 + 1 could be 0. Positive 1 and negative 1 is 0. And now that I'm a Christian, I learned that 1 + 1 could be 1,000,000. 1, me being one person, plus 1 God, could be 1,000,000 times blessing. Not only numbers and money, but just blessing. There's a quote I want you to read here. It's going to be a little challenging to us, right inside your lesson plan. It says, the world is yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man or woman. Just put a woo in front of the man. Amen. A woman is a woo man. She is. She's woo. That's when Adam, when he saw Eve, he went, woo, man. That's what I'm talking about. That's how she got her name, woman. You don't read the Bible for all it's worth. But by the man who is fully consecrated to God. That means that no one's ever seen, has yet to see, and that's this man's opinion, but very rarely have we seen what God can do through, in, by, for a person that is fully committed to God. The potential is unlimited. And one person plus one God is unbelievable. You see that with people, when people just work in partnership. I made a New Year's resolution to cook, learn how to cook this year. And every Tuesday I was supposed to cook for my wife. Every Tuesday, I had a set a day. I did it the second time the other day. The first time I did it, the Cheerios got too soggy because I left them in there too long. I had to start out simple. You know, just put Cheerios in first, measure it up, put the milk in, wait. And I waited too long and got soggy. But so the other day, I was working out with my workout partner, and I was like, man, I got to cook my wife dinner. I need to cook her. She's sick. I got to, you know, pick up the slack. And so I asked his wife. She's a cooker. She watched the cooking channel. So I said, got to give me a recipe. So she says, oh, just cook Mexican food. It's real easy. I says, well, tell me. Give me. She said, don't just go to the store and buy it and do it. I was like, like burners on. Yeah, give me particulars. So anyway, she gave me some ideas. And we didn't write anything down. She was just saying this stuff. Like, I'm supposed to memorize it. So I go home and tell my wife, I'm cooking for you. She said, what are you going to cook? She said, I'm going to cook Mexican food. She says, what? Oh, I'm going to cook fajitas. So she says, well, so my wife's standing there like, and I'm like, what? Well, you have to go buy something. I go, oh, yeah, huh? I said, well, can you just go get the stuff? And I'll cook it. So she goes to the store. I didn't tell her that, but she's like, you don't know nothing. She gets some stuff. She gets stuff. And she gets the pans out and gets the measuring stuff out and gets all the stuff laid out for me, and she turns the burners on for me, and she she takes my hand and she does this, takes my hand and does that, and she puts it on the plate for me. You know, actually, I did a little more than that, but she helped, and it was my night to cook, but she helped, because if she didn't help, we wouldn't have eaten. So one plus one is edible. It produces a great product. When you say, God, I'm giving all of myself to you, he gives all himself to you, which he already has, the result is unlimited. We're in week number four of our, and the final week of our week on stewardship and giving and all that kind of stuff, but we're most importantly in week number one of a six-week fast. Remember that? Starts today. Now, you got the little green card. Did you get a little green card in your bulletin today? Fill the green card out and give it to the push table when you go outside. You don't have to fill it out now, but just before you go, fill the green card out. The six-week fast is about this. We're not going to not eat for 6 weeks, but every week we're going to fast or abstain from something. This week, we are going to abstain from frivolous spending, and we're going to bless somebody else. Go to In-N-Out, you're going to spend $8, $20 on a lunch at In-N-Out. You may want to get five double doubles, three, you know, depending on your appetite. Take that money and go bless somebody with a card, buy cookies, buy flowers, send your mom a gift. But something you are going to give up. You're going to say, you know what, I'm not going to do this for myself this week. I'm going to go bless other people. Okay? And you're going to watch what's going to happen to your life. This is week number one. Now, we're going to do something different every week. This week is just money and for spending, giving. So we want to look at what it's like, eight characteristics of a giver who is a partner with God, a giving partner with God. Let's read Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and then we'll look at our lesson plan. Acts 3, 3. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asks for alms. Verse 4. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? Look in your lesson plan, please. In the first quote, the second quote there, there's a question. It says, what type of person does God use to bless others? And next to that, put in parentheses, givers. We're going to refer to givers throughout this whole thing. First one, givers are, write down, people who are doing the right things. And number one, givers are people doing the right things. God uses people doing the right things. I was watching the Pro Bowl yesterday and a little bit of it, and I saw these guys getting these interceptions. And one of the things about getting an interception is, yeah, sometimes a quarterback can make a bad throw, But other times, you're just in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, and all of a sudden, there's the ball. And if God is going to use you, you got to make sure you are doing the right thing at the right time that God wants you to do. And all of a sudden, he will put you in a position without you even realizing it to do something for him. We call them divine appointments. Look at verse 1. Lord, we pray that that car stops beeping. Oh, it's mine. Click, click. No. Verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. What were they doing? They were going to pray. I am going to go to pray as they should have gone to pray. And they were doing the right thing at the right time. If you make a commitment, Lord, I give you my life. Lord, I belong to you. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, you are telling him you belong to him. You are telling him you surrender your life. That's what being a Christian is. Dear God, here I am. And every day when you wake up, you got to say, God, what do you want me to do? And if you follow that train of thought, which is biblical, and you say, Lord, guide me today, guide me here, guide me there, wherever you want me to go, you will find yourself constantly in places to be used by God. You have no idea. Driving down the street, going into the restaurant, going into the gas station, going over here to pump gas at this pump instead of that pump. God will put you in places where he can use you the best and the most efficiently. He doesn't just want to use you once and now and then. He wants to use you all the time. When you come to church, many people come to church because they want to get something. You should come to church. Lord, put me in a seat where I can minister to somebody. Put me next to somebody that I can pray for, that I can encourage. Now, maybe you don't want to do that. Well, you need to want to do that. You need to realize that's why you have the gospel. So givers are people, and God people can use, are people who are doing the right things. Look at number two. Point number two, it says, givers are, or you could write this down, givers are people willing to be interrupted. Interrupted. People willing to be interrupted. Look what it says in verse 2 and 3. Certain man laying from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Are you willing to be interrupted? So many of us don't want God to interrupt our life because we got our pattern. You get up, you drink your coffee. You go to work, you go to lunch, you leave work early, you come home, yell at your wife, she yells at you, you eat a jacked up meal, then you eat a jacked up dessert, then you get overweight, and then you burp. Then you watch TV, then you go to bed. That is boring. When God gets a hold of you, God will put interruptions in your life that are exciting. He will challenge you to do stuff that will get your adrenaline flowing. Scary. There's these two friends of mine, they're rappers. They're Samoan. One is 5'11", 400 pounds, for real. This was 5-6 years ago when we were talking about this, he was bench pressing 600 pounds, and his wrist was hurt. He said, I was only 600, man, I hurt my wrist. I was like, oh. I mean, the dude is like, when I hug him, I can't even touch my hands. That's how big. And his brother is 6'4", 500. Now, he may be 400 pounds also, but they're just giants. And they, before they were saved, they were in this little gang of all these Samoan brothers. And to me, Samoans are just big brothers. They're like Samoan Negro. That's what I love, Samoan. Samoan Negro. That's what I call him anyway. The first time I saw a Samoan dude, he looked like me, 100 pounds heavier. And I didn't know what nationality was. I was like, for like half hours, because I met him at the airport. We were coming here I got drafted to the Rams, so he was going to the Rams, and we met at the airport, and I'm like, you going to the Rams? Yeah, yeah. And I was looking at him going, man, what are you? I was tripping. I was like, you ain't Puerto Rican, you black, you big, I know that, you big old. And he was real cool. What's up, man? So anyway, Junior and my friends were walking in Santa Monica Pier with all their boys, big old Raider jackets, giant dudes, 6'9", 6'8", 400, 300, 600-pound dudes. And I'm not exaggerating. So they're walking down the pier, and this little itty-bitty white dude, probably my size, right, came up to them. Where's my little piece of paper? He came up to them with a little Bible tract. You know, you're going to go to hell if you don't repent, type piece of paper. And he walks up to Tony, the 6'4 dude. You need to be saved. You need Jesus Christ in your life. So Tony goes, and he, get out of here. He goes like this to walk around the dude. And the dude, the little dude with the funny voice, he does this in front of him. You need to be saved. So Tony took the track, threw it on the ground, pushed him aside, and kept walking. Well, he got saved from that. Now, you may be walking down the street, driving down, and God may say, you see those drug dealers over there? You need to go in and witness to them. You know what you're going to do? Get up, go back to your boring life. I don't want to do that, God. No, you need to do it. You need to step by faith. You need to say, God, what do you want me to do? Now, some of y'all are like, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to do that stuff. Let me tell you something. You need to be available to whatever God tells you to do. But let me tell you this. God will never, ever, 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 because he promises in the Word, tell you to do something you can't do. Will it be above what you think you can do? Always. Always. That's the exciting part. It's by faith. You have to say, God, I can't. That's what I want to hear. Now you can. Now you can, because what I'm calling you to do, you can't do. Look what it says in your bulletin in your lesson plan about being interrupted. It says interruptions can be viewed as sources of irritation or opportunities for service, as moments lost or experience gained, as time wasted or horizons widened. They can annoy us or enrich us, get under our skin or give us a shot in the arm, monopolize our minutes or spice our schedules, depending on our attitude toward them. Boom. Number three, let's write this in. Givers are people who pay attention to the needs of others. People who pay attention to the needs of others. People who pay attention to the needs of others. Look at verse 4. Peter said, look at us. And in verse 4, the man who was crippled said, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. You know what he says? We'll help you out. People come to church, I don't want to do anything, I just want to get. I've asked many times over our two-year history, actually we're coming up on our second-year anniversary here in a minute, a couple weeks. I asked how many people are over 30, people raise their hand. How many people want to be happy, people raise their hand. How many people want to be committed to the Lord, people raise their hand. And last week I said, how many people who go to church here don't do anything as far as volunteering? People like this. I mean, I could barely see fingernails. It's like people didn't want to lie, but they didn't want to say, look at me. Hands went up real slow. I was like, oh, come on, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. It was a majority, which is something we got to fix. If everybody volunteered at the level you volunteered, prayed at the level you prayed, gave financially at the level you gave, encouraged at the level you encouraged, what kind of church would we have? Ooh. Ooh. How many people would really help? Ooh. How effective would we be? Ooh. Now, if you're a visitor, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to people who say, I go to the Rock. I go to the Rock. Yeah, I go there all the time. Once a month. You know what the Bible says here? It says, listen. He said, we'll pay attention to you. When you come to church, you need to get out of your car and say, God, you know what? I know I'm going to be blessed. But I'm going to be more blessed if I could bless somebody else. Put me next to somebody I could pray for. Don't say anything. Just look to the person to your right and look to the person to your left. Just go ahead and do that real quick. Look to the person. Look to the... I mean, y'all just like... Can't really see them that quick. Just look at them for like one thousand. Y'all like, I don't want to look real quick. You ever see people in elevator? They're like this. I get in elevator. I walk in elevator like this, and I walk in and just stand like this and look at everybody. What's your name? Let's try one more time. 1-1,000. Go ahead, do it to the right. 1-1,000 to the left. There you go. All right. Isn't that nice? There. Now here's what I want you to do. Look at me now. Look at me now. Say this with me. Dear God, do you want me to pray for them? Okay, when you get out of your car, Lord, put me next to somebody you might want me to encourage, pray for. Pray for them. Let me pray for you, pray for them, or pray for them. Dear God, please bless them. With some Tic Tacs. Or whatever. But your mindset is, Lord, I am not coming here to get my seat, get my best parking space, get out quick, don't get cut in front of me in the parking lot. I don't want to be interrupted. I want to be smooth sailing in, smooth sailing out. Forget that. You get in your seat when God decides you get to see God. Wants you, you know, get here in time, come early if you want to do all that. But don't come here just for me. Come here saying, Lord, what can I do? How can you use me? How can you encourage me? You want to get the most out of church? Do that. And then do that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Go to the 7-Eleven. God, use me. Pay for the food you're buying. Do that first. Go to work. When you go to work tomorrow, ask God to use you. Before you walk in the building or whatever where you work, God, use me. God's going to say, you sure? Yep, use me. Okay? Ooh, buddy. Ooh, buddy. Matter of fact, this week, your homework's going to be just to bless people. Ask God to use you in that process. Think about it. Pray about it. Lord, who do you want me to bless? You know what he's going to say? You know, you haven't talked to your mom in 3 months. 2 years. Your brother, you need to go bless him. Do something that God wants you to do. When I was, after I retired from the Chargers, I used to go back and, for whatever, witness to people, whatever. I went to this guy's office one day, and I was talking to him. He had some problems. His son had some health problems. I was praying with him. When I left the office, I said, you know, I gotta get this dude saved. So I stood at the door so he couldn't leave if, you know, things didn't go good. And I started to witness to him. And man, I have never in my life seen someone try to run from God as vividly as this dude. When I say run from God, it's like if God was in that side of the room, he would go over here. Then God came over here, he would go over here. So the whole time I'm talking to him, he's like this. Well, and I was dying laughing inside. I was like, whoosh. Whoosh, whoosh, and he was trying to run from God. You know what? When you ask Christ to be your Savior, you have the most powerful thing you can have. You got to use it. You got to ask God to let you use it. Look at the next one. Look at number four. Number four says, But right above for it is a quote. It says, givers are not people with fewer needs than others. They are people who believe it is more blessed to give than receive. In number four, please write, givers inspire hope in others. Givers inspire hope in others. Givers inspire hope in others. Look at verse 4 and 5. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. When you are a giving person, and giving is absolutely not limited and focused on giving money. Give a word of encouragement. Give sound biblical wisdom or counsel. Have you ever been around an encouraging person? You like to be around them, don't you? People just walk up to encouraging people, just look at them. You ever notice that? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you just like call them up. Hi. What do you want? Nothing. There's a lot of little kids on my street, probably about 90. They're all like, you know, little, this big, right around this age range, like from infant to 8, that are all my friends. All my buddies, when I come out and play with them. I pull them around in little cars and play hide and seek. Lie to them. I tell them lies all the time. They love it. I make stuff up, you know, just cartoon lies, like, you know, Tinkerbell and Sylvester got married and had Tweety Bird as a baby. So then we have a cartoon discussion. The other day I drove home. Yesterday I needed a car wash and there were kids out playing. So I yelled across the street, did they want to wash my car? These little kids, like 3-4 years old. So I said, y'all want to wash my car? No, we're playing in the dirt. And you know, little kids, the amazing thing about little kids, they just will talk, and you don't even have to be there. And they'll keep talking to you. Because they're across the street digging in the dirt. We're putting dirt in the pail, and we're going to, and I'm gone. I'm already in the house. And we're going to. But you know what? When I come out there and play with them, they just love attention. And they tell me stuff that they ate for dinner. They tell me stuff that they did to their sister. They tell me stuff they put in their sister's mouth. And then I made mud and put it in her mouth. And she threw up. And mommy gave me a spanking. And then I had to go to my room. And I couldn't have dessert for 5 days. And then I did it again. But I didn't tell mommy that time. And and I just sit there and listen. And, you know, tell them funny stuff. And they love it. You know, why can't you be that kind of person? Why can't you be a giving person of love and attention and encouragement and wisdom? People like to be around you. God gave us his son. You know what? God, I love when God talks to me. He tells me good stuff. He encourages me. He gives me hope. He gives me encouragement. He gives me wisdom. He gives me love. He gives me patience. He gives me peace. He gives me a whole bunch of good stuff. And you and I are tools and vessels for all of that to other people. You need to understand that. You need to ask God to use you that way. Look what it says underneath number four. It says, how to have charisma. It says, be more concerned about making others feel good about themselves than you are in making them feel good about you. I want to make you feel good about yourself. I love your hair, dude. It's so much better than last week. It was jacked up last week, but it's so good today. I love those shoes. I love your makeup. I just love you. You're so encouraging. Find out something good about people and say to them, you know what I like about you? We had a conference one time, and Cindy Tobias, who was one of the speakers, had us all think of things we liked about the people in our group and our family, and we had to tell them. We had to go around all day in the conference and tell everybody one thing we liked about them by saying to them, you know what I like about you? Do that. You know what I like about you? Just find something. And there could be 10 things you don't like about them. There's got to be one thing. You know what I like about you? You never come on my house. I love that about you. I mean, it's got to be something. Number five. But you know what? Don't even if someone calls you up and they only talk for a little bit, they don't keep you on the phone for a long time because they're sensitive to your time, tell them that. I like the fact that you call me up, but you're always sensitive to my time. I like the fact that you're always positive. I like the fact that you always love your kids. You're always on time. Blah, 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 blah. Number five. Givers are people who use what they have. Givers are people who use what they have. Verse 6. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Woo! Check this out. When you asked Christ to be your Savior, he cleaned out all your junk, gave you the opportunity to flee from your junk, gave you his Holy Spirit, the potential of peace, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, supernatural power he's put inside of you with his Holy Spirit. He's given you the ministry and message of reconciliation that Christ lived, died, and rose from the dead for our sin. He gave you that message. He gave you the living word that is sharper than a two-edged sword. He gave all that to you, and he says, go and tell people about me. You don't have to have anything else but that message. And everywhere you go, you have that message. And you have a responsibility, but more so, the privilege of setting other people free. You have that privilege. Now, look at the quote underneath number five. It says, givers always look for a way to give. See that in your lesson plan? And you could write next to that, takers always look for a way to take. Can I get an amen? You know when people always grubbing? Eaters always look for a place to eat. Talkers always look for an opportunity to talk. That's me. I talk to everybody. I talk to the pole. I'll be at the mall just standing by myself talking to the pole. Teachers always look for a way to teach, an opportunity to teach. Evangelists always look for a place to evangelize. Christians should always look for a place to be a Christian. And so wherever you're at, you got to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Me, because evangelism is on my heart, I'm always looking for someone who needs to be saved. I'll even make people, I'll try to convince people. I'll try to get my words straight. I need to slow down. I will convince people that they're not saved just so I can get them saved, even if they were saved before. I witnessed somebody and say, well, I'm already saved. Oh, man. Well, let's do it again. Wherever you're at, you have to ask yourself, does this person know Christ? Is this person going to heaven or hell? Don't look at their clothes. Don't look at their hair. Don't look at their nationality, their age, if they got diamonds or not. Are they going to hell? Think about it. Think about that. Think about you going and buying the shoes at a shoe store and the person selling you the shoes, working for a commission, telling you they look good when they really don't. Your toes are turning blue, but it'll stretch out. And they're selling you these shoes. And really, they would go to hell if they died. And you were there with them for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, however long it was. If you're a guy, probably 2 minutes, right there shopping. And you could have said to them, you know, God loves you. Do you know Christ? Would you like to go to heaven? Would you like to have peace in your life? And you know what? You never know when someone will go, dude. Yeah, you're the fifth person today. I think I need to do this. It would trip you out. You'd be like, what do I do now? Come to church Sunday. That's you. Hey, you don't have to have stuff, but you always have that message, and it's your responsibility and opportunity to learn and perfect that message. You'd be walking to church. We're here today, spread out all over San Diego every day. Givers use what they have. Look at number six on your lesson plan. givers realize that the source of giving is God. The source of giving is God. The source Look what it says in verse 6. Verse 6, it says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. If anything's going to happen good to you, it's going to be God. It's not going to be from me. It's going to be from God. Look what it says there in, right underneath Peter. It says, Peter and John realized God's power. Write down God's power. God's power was his ability to give. It's because of God's power you are able to give. Because God has blessed you, you can bless others. Because God has encouraged you, you can encourage others. Because God's given you peace, you can encourage peace in other people's lives. Next, God's provision. God's provision was his willingness to give. Because God provided, I was willing to provide for you. God's provision. Lastly, God's partnership was his reason to give. Partnership. God's partnership. When you make a commitment to God, God makes an infinitely more stronger commitment to you. The Bible says you draw near to God, he draws near to you. God has latched onto me. I can't get him off. He says, Miles, I'm committed to you. You committed to me? Miles, you know what? Even when you're not committed to me, you start flaking out, I'm still here. Man. God says, let's go, man. We got to go. We got business to take care of. We got people over here to save. Every time God does something significant in history, he uses people. Look at that quote right there. It says, there is not a significant event. It's in your lesson plan. There is not a significant event since creation that God has brought to pass without the assistance of man. God's looking for men to partner with so he can go do stuff. When God killed Goliath, he used David. He could have flicked him himself. Just flicked, boom, Goliath if he wanted to. He said, no, I'm going to use David. When God wanted to build a boat, he picked Noah. When God wanted to deliver the Jews out of slavery in Egypt, he picked Moses. What does God want to do through you? There's a boat out there he wants you to build. There's people out there he wants you to set free. That's definitely my passion. There's a giant out there that he wants you to slay. There's stuff out there he wants you to do. And so often we're busy over here doing our own thing, not wanting to be interrupted by meaningful stuff. We want to do our own thing because we in our mind think this is more important than what God wants us to do. And it's just, we're wrong. We're wrong. God's plan is always better. It's not an option. It's not might be better. It's always better all the time. That's why he is God and we're not. You don't want to be God. You don't want to be God. So don't try to be. And you try to be God every time you take control of your life, do your thing. You're saying to God, God, let me do it myself. God says, no, just trust me, because I know better. And you can, you know, I met a girl out here after the first service. She's 25 years old. She has a little son. She says, you came to speak at my school in 1992. And she says, I remember you came to speak to my school. And it was good, and I haven't been going to church. And actually, she's a girl. I haven't been going to church. She says, I've been coming in for like a month. And she says, my life has changed. And I says, you know, isn't it a trip when you're young, you think you know everything? Yup. You do. And sometimes that age called young is 15. Sometimes that age called young is 25. Sometimes that age of young is 55. It's how old you are when you think you know everything. It's called young and ignorant, not ignorant, ignorant. But sometimes we get to a point where we realize that God knows everything and he's always right. They say, you know what? God wants to use me. It's not me being interrupted. I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. Let's write in some words here. Partnership. Back in your lesson plan, God supplies and man shares. God supplies and man shares. When we talked about everything you own is God's, he didn't give it to you to own it. He gave it to you to share it. It's temporary. God is the creator, and man is the channel. Channel. God pours it in, and man passes it on. God pours it in, and man passes it on. You know that everything you have is borrowed? And God says, I'm going to just give it to you for a time because I want you to use it for this. When my grandfather passed away, my brother was there, and he carried his body into the car for the mortician. He was in a bag, and he told me this. I said, you did what? He says, I got to carry Grandpa down the stairs. And I was like, and I started thinking, you know, because your family and people we know them as their shell, and we know them as their heart. But really, the shell is borrowed. It's just a shell. And he says, when I carried him, it was just flesh. It wasn't him. It wasn't. It was just the shell. It's borrowed. Even this is borrowed. This is borrowed. Your money is borrowed. Your kids are borrowed. Your house is borrowed. It's just all temporary. And God is saying, listen, I'm just giving you some temporary. Here's what I'm really doing over here. The spiritual. Open your eyes. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Open your eyes and your heart so you can see this. Focus on this. This is all temporary. This is, remember last week we talked about God giving us stuff as a test and to refine our responsibility. If we can't be responsible in earthly things, how are we going to be responsible in spiritual things? So listen, learn from these lessons, but here is the true purpose and meaning of life. It's the spiritual. So use it. Let me pass it to you. Pour it into your life so you could pass it on. Let me supply you so you can share it. But it's for this purpose. Look what it says in your lesson plan. The next thing it says, we are in trouble when we feel, and write down, independent. When you start feeling, I don't need God, I do it myself. Ooh. Independent. And number two, inadequate. Write down inadequate. Inadequate. The first one, it says independent. When you feel that you're the source of the supply, when you are the beginning and end of everything you have, please do not feel that it is God. And next thing, when it says inadequate, that there is no source of the supply. You know what God loves? He loves it when someone says, you know what, God, you gave me, I'm going to give you back. Okay, that's cool, and we should do that. But you know what's even more amazing? God, you gave me this much. Or I have nothing. But God, I have dreams and a willingness and a desire to do this. And it's not that I have $5, I want to give 20. That's a one way, but in the biggest sense, Lord, I have little experience. I have some friends, some contacts, but Lord, I want to be used to do this in your kingdom. And I know I only have resources to do this, but I'm dreaming this by faith. Can we do that? God says, ooh, yeah. Are you sure? Yeah. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, matter of fact, look in your lesson plan in the very, very beginning, that quote we read. Look at that. In the very, very beginning, the quote we read, it says, right up top, under the word introduction, it says, the world is yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man or woman who is fully consecrated to him. You know what that says? That when God gets, when a person gets fully consecrated, God will go off. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth looking to show himself strong, barao, on behalf of someone who is loyal. God's wanted to do something amazing. God's wanted to do something incredible. He just can't find someone loyal enough to do it through. He's like, oh, man, if I bless them, they're gonna give coincidence credit. If I bless them, they're going to squander it. If I bless them, they're just going to trust me one time and go back to the old ways. What if I bless that dude or that woman? You gotta want that. Well, you know, I don't really want a lot of blessings. I just want a little bit because, you know, I just want to do things my way. And, you know, I really don't want to walk by faith. And I really don't want to, I don't want to be inconvenienced. You know, I like my pattern. And I love being depressed. And I love being, you know, unhappy. And, you know, I just like being addicted and strung out. And, you know, I just like all these knucklehead dudes I date. And, you know, this is my life. It's my life. And you know what? Jesus asked a guy who was crippled 38 years. He says, do you want to be well? You know what the dude said? Well, you know, I can't get in the water. I don't want to help me. You know, I just don't understand. Do you want to be well? Yes or no? Well, bye. Jesus didn't say that, though. You know what he said? Get up. Dude got up. Either you want it or you don't. Excuses, don't say them. Don't think them. Yes. God don't want to hear your excuses. He doesn't. He wants you to say yes or no, because your excuses, what you're telling God is, God, here are reasons why what you're proposing won't work. Don't even say them. Just say yes or no. Matter of fact, look at the last one. This number 7. Look at this one. God uses people who are willing to try and trust God for the rest. They're willing to try and trust God for the rest. You can't do it by yourself, Joe. Charlie. Chuck, Leroy, Ophelia, Opie. Look what it says in verse 7. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse 8. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You know what they said? They said, brother, we don't have any money. We don't have silver and gold. We don't have, but in the name of Christ, walk. And they reached down and grabbed him. And I'm sure in the back of their mind saying, brother, you better get up. And he got up. They said, we're going to commit to God and we're going to do it. Remember, raw faith, R-A-W, R, rely on the facts, A, act, W, watch for the woo. Well, what they did is they relied on the facts, they acted and prayed for the dude to reach down, and then they watched for the woo. The guy got up. That's what happened right there. Look at number 8 in your lesson plan. Last thing, it says, and by the way, that's called faith, doing your best and trusting God for the rest. Number 8, givers want God to receive the glory. The glory. Not the glory. Glory is when you do something good. When God does something good, it's glory. Can y'all say that with me? Glory. You can't say glory. That's South. That's being from the South. Glory. There you go. Verse 11 and 12, look what it says. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. The brother was holding on. He didn't want to let him go. So he's holding on, leaping. He's like this. As he held on, all the people ran together into the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And so when people saw it, he responded and said, men of Israel, why do you marvel at us or look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? Let me tell you something. If you ever do anything for God, it ain't you. It's not you. It won't be you. It isn't you. It can't be you. It never will be you. That's the exciting thing. When God calls you to do something, it's going to be something you can't do. It's going to be something you have to say, that's it, God. I can't do it. But I want to try. He says, trust me. Okay, Bow, 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 bow. And at that point, you know what you say? You the man. Can we do it again? Yep, but it's going to be even bigger than that. Bow, 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 bow. Can we do it again? And you get, I know addicted is a bad word. I mean, a negative has negative connotation, but you get hooked on miracles. I'm hooked on miracles. I'm hooked on stuff that is unexplainable. I want to see stuff unexplainable. When I meet people that are all, life's all messed up, okay, I want to see something unexplainable happen to you. And here's how we do it. You got to accept you're a sinner. You got to believe Jesus Christ is your Savior. Boom, 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 boom. And you got to give it all up. And let me tell you something. Lives change. My challenge to you this week, twofold. One, instead of spending that little $5, whatever it is, whatever frivolous spending is to you, give it to somebody. Use it to bless somebody. Watch what happens in your heart. Number two, kind of goes along line with that. If it's not money, it's your encouragement. Instead of getting someone to serve you, you serve them. Give of your time. Give of your encouragement. Give of your ego. Give this week. Watch what God does in your heart. Say, God, I am available. Here I am. Use me. I'm available. Everything I have is available. Use me this week. You got the green card in your hand? Go to a small group. Go get your push packet and pray with us all week for the next 6 weeks. Get your wristband. Put it on and say, God, here I am. Let's go. Let me tell you something. In 6 weeks, if you do it, God is going to change your life. That's what we're here for. Amen. Let's all stand and sing a song. And believe me, they're coming to sing because it ain't going to be me. And I'm going to see you in the lobby. Remember, we have 8:30 service. I want to challenge you to come. Stand up. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness and your grace. Lord, may we be givers this week. May we learn to let go. In Jesus' name, amen.